Amen. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Lauren. They're going to come back up here in a little bit, and we're just going to worship together some more. We thought y'all might like that. Many of you thought you were coming tonight to see Todd Wagner answer a lot of your questions, and he had something come up in the middle of this week. He has an opportunity to speak tonight to a lot of local Kenyan pastors, people that are from Africa, and there's if you know anything about Africa right now, there's tons of fighting, tons of war going on, and Todd has a chance to speak truth into leaders tonight that are here in Dallas, that know people all over Kenya, that know people all over Africa, that God can use them to help bring some peace over there. And so the elders really thought that the wisest thing for Todd to do tonight is to communicate with them and be with them tonight, and then next Sunday, Todd will be here. If you're a, you know, if you're a visitor tonight and somebody brought you, forgive us for that, but Todd will be here next week. Anybody want to die? I just tripped on it. Somebody want it? Here you go, Graham. Tonight I want to invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 3. If you brought a Bible, if you didn't, it's going to be up on the screens. And I want to talk tonight about hearing from God. I want to talk tonight about listening for God's voice. So I'll give you a second, if you've got your Bible, to turn to Exodus chapter 3. If we can maybe bring house lights up a little bit for people to see their Bible. While you're turning there, I'll just tell you a real fun story about somebody that didn't listen very well. When my wife and I, after we got married, I went to get my master's at a seminary. And at our school, we had a gym that we would go and work out in. And so every day, we'd go jump on some treadmills. And our favorite treadmills, there was always one treadmill in between ours. The two treadmills we got on had TVs in front of them, and this one treadmill never did. So we'd always, there would always be one treadmill in between us. So we're running, and neither of us, when we worked out at the time, would wear our wedding rings. We would both take them off. We'd leave them in the car, whatever. So my hot wife is running on the treadmill, and a guy comes downstairs. I can tell he's single, and he walks in, and he jumps on the treadmill in between us. And I got to be honest, my wife, like I said, she's hot, and in spandex, she's even hotter, okay? And so she's running on the treadmill looking hot, and he has no idea that she's my wife. And I can tell that he's going to start talking to her and start to put the Mac down a little bit. So my wife's running. She's got a University of Arkansas shirt on. She ran track there, which this guy has no clue that she is fast, okay? And right now, she's just warming up. He gets on the treadmill, and he says, University of Arkansas, I'm from Arkansas. And so, like, who knows if he was really from Arkansas, right? So he starts talking to my wife, and Holly's just kind of, you know, saying, hey, whatever, being nice, being polite. And this guy has no idea that not only did my wife run track at the University of Arkansas, she ran a 458 mile her sophomore year at the University of Arkansas. So not only is she smoking hot, she's just smoking, right? So my wife, and it's no big deal for her to turn the speed up on the treadmill to like 20 miles an hour, okay? And the funny thing about my wife and a lot of girls is they can talk when they run, right? Guys don't like to talk when they run, but for my wife, it's no big deal. So this guy's trying to start up a conversation with her. I get so excited when I talk about my wife. Sorry. And so this guy's talking to her, and guys, like I said, they can't talk when they run. So he's getting out of breath, and he's turning the speed up, trying to catch up to my wife's speed, which is a huge mistake. And I'm starting to think, this dude's going to fall off the treadmill. Like, it's going to end bad. And the funny thing about it, it's a small gym, and there's a wall right behind the treadmills. Okay? So I kind of start to look over to my wife, and this guy is dying. He's barely getting a word in, okay? And he is slowly making his way to the back of the treadmill. And his shoe comes untied. So my wife, like, I have not said anything up until this point, okay? My wife says, your shoe's untied. And he's like, oh, it's okay. No big deal. No big deal. He keeps running. He trips on his shoestring, smacks the back of the wall, and this is worse. He tries to get back on the treadmill while it is just rolling over and over. I mean, it is at a high speed. He jumps back on the treadmill, hits the wall again. And my wife and I are doing everything we can not to pee our pants while we're on the treadmills running. And I'm like, dude, are you okay? Are you okay? He does not want to listen to me or my wife. He gets back on the treadmill. His foot slips off. His face hits the treadmill. He's got a huge, like, strawberry burn on his nose. He picks up his sweatshirt, picks up his sweatpants, and walks off, and the treadmill's still going. And I'm like, was I just in a movie? But numerous times, we tried to talk this guy into, like, stopping the treadmill, get back on it, and he did not want to listen. And I don't blame him talking to my wife, right? Because why? Because she's smoking hot, right? But if you're anything like me, you want to listen to God, and you know that the best thing for you to do is to listen to God, but sometimes we just don't want to listen to God. There's a guy in the Bible many of you know, and many of you have read the story, and many of you know some of these verses by heart that we're going to read tonight. It's just six verses, but I want you to encounter this passage in a brand new, in a really fresh way tonight. I want to point some things out to you in this little story that I think could transform your life tonight. Watch this in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that, he turned aside to look. God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. So that's just the beginning of Exodus chapter 3. And if you know any of this story, Moses has a huge struggle the rest of chapter 3 and some of chapter 4 in what God was asking him to do. Moses struggled with listening to God. So I want you to know that if you're here tonight and you're sitting in your seat and you're like, oh my gosh, how does he know that I don't listen well? How does he know, like, was this planned? Why did he pick this? I want you to know that you're in very good company tonight. Moses, one of the great men of the Bible, one of the great leaders in the Bible, a guy that was incredibly used by the Lord, struggled with listening to God. So I kind of want to take you through this passage, and like I said, I want you to see it in a fresh way tonight. The first thing I want you to see in this text, and I'll say this a lot, I've said it a lot before, is don't glaze over the scripture. You always look for key words. Okay, watch this. The first part of this is that God came down. Look at verse 1. God came down. Look at verse 1. Moses is pasturing the flock. Look at how the end of verse 1 stops, right up until verse 2. He's in the wilderness. Okay, look at the difference one verse makes. He's out in the wilderness with sheep. His father-in-law is a priest, probably off at the temple doing something spiritual, right? And then all of a sudden in verse 2, God shows up. Okay, so you're pasturing, you know, you're out in the pasture with sheep, you're hanging out, there's probably sheep poop all over the place, and God shows up in a bush, and it's on fire. So God comes down, and God wants to talk with Moses. Now, for Moses, remember, his father-in-law's a priest, and Moses is getting older at this point, and he is struggling with God. Why am I out with sheep by myself? I sleep on the ground at night. It's hot during the day. Life is just not making sense right now. And you're showing up in the wilderness? I thought, remember, if you live during the Old Testament, you think that God lives in the temple, right? Why would God come out to the wilderness? Because God has a passion for coming down and speaking with his people. The Bible is a book about a God that comes down. Not a God that just lives in the heavens and is holy, but also a God that can't wait to be with his people. God is so passionate about being with his people that 2,000 years ago, God wrapped himself in flesh and came down and for a little over 30 years lived with his people. He said, I've got to be with my people. And Moses is encountering this God in Exodus chapter 3, a God that wants to come down and hang out with him. How freaked would you be if God starts talking to you from a bush? And all of a sudden, I mean, you're with your sheep, you've been doing what you've been doing every day for a long time, and God shows up in a bush. Moses, his reaction was this. Listen to this in verse 3. Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. Now, I know you guys don't walk around saying the word marvelous, right? So that would be like you guys saying what? What would you say? Huh? Awesome? What else? Cool? What else? Huh? Tight? Tight? That's good. So if you were Moses, you'd be like, that's tight, right? Verse 3, so Moses said, that's tight. I cannot believe the bush is on fire, but it's not being burned up. Moses stops, and he sees that God has come down, and basically, Moses' jaw drops, and he says, wow, God, you are here. I thought you lived over there where my father-in-law is, who's a priest, and you're here. I'm by myself, chilling, and you're here. His jaw drops. He's like, wow. Now, many of you, there will come a day when your jaw will drop, and this is the best illustration when you're talking about somebody just dropping their jaw in awe of something. When I got married, my wife came down the aisle, and right when the doors opened, I saw her, and it's on video, my knees bend, like automatically, like the doors open, my knees buckle, my jaw drops, and somebody got a picture of it, and I look like an absolute dork, okay? But I was in awe of my wife. Some of you are like, you always look like an absolute dork, but that's okay, I'm okay with that. So the door, yes, thanks, Kip. So the doors open, I am in awe of my wife coming down the aisle. This is the day that I've dreamed of. And Moses has a similar reaction. Whoa, I've been in the wilderness for years. And God is in a bush here with me and a bunch of sheep. Our reaction every day to how amazing God is should constantly be, wow, God, you are amazing. You can fill in the blank there. God, you're incredible. You're awesome. You're whatever. God, you're incredible. You are full of grace. You're full of mercy. You forgive me for my sins. You call me into a relationship with you. And Moses is like, wow, God, you are here. You're not just in the heavens. And he says, I must see this marvelous sight. That's huge. So God came down. Now watch this. God doesn't just come down. God comes down to talk to Moses, and God does the same thing with us. God comes down to talk to us. Look at verse 4. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him. I'm going to read that again. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Now look at this in the text. Moses has the attention span long enough to look at the bush on fire and to see that it's not being burned up. How many minutes do you think it would take for somebody to look at a bush and say that it's not being burned up? Or let's do this. How long do you think it would take for a bush to get consumed by a fire? Just throw out a time. 5 minutes, okay? Somebody want to go longer? 5 minutes? 20 minutes. Yeah. Not a lot going on in the wilderness, right? Moses is just standing there. Okay, let's say 5-10 minutes. Okay, Moses has to sit and stare at the bush long enough to say, whoa, that's not being consumed. This is not like, we couldn't give you like an instant replay of this. You'd be bored eventually, okay? Because we don't have the attention span that Moses had. How many of you, this is going to sound like a stupid question, but there's a point here. How many of you have a cell phone? How many of you have Facebook? How many of you have MySpace? How many of you have a TV in your room? How many of you have a laptop? How many of you have email and you use it a lot? Oh, whoa, nobody has email. Okay. Now, here's a bigger question. Think about all those things that you have. Think about all those things that you have. Now, let me ask you this. How many of us feel like the voice of God is distant in our lives? Because between Facebook, text messaging, everything we're doing, the voice of God is distant because our attention span for a really good relationship with Him and being able to focus on Him and being able to pray to God, being able to listen to God's voice is so hard because we don't know how to stop. When was the last time that you really heard from God? And maybe the question for you to ask yourself tonight is, do I really want to hear from God? And maybe the question we ask as a student ministry is, do we really want to hear from God? Do we really want to know what an incredible relationship with Jesus is like? And Moses asked himself the same question. Do I really want to know you? And he comes up with every excuse. If you read the rest of chapter 3, he's like, but this, but that, but this. And God just answers every concern that Moses has. So God comes down and he talks to Moses. And like I said earlier, that same God wrapped himself in flesh, and tonight he's here. And maybe the best application for you tonight is not just to know that he's here, but he's at your school. He's around you with your friends when times are hard. He is all over the place. In the toughest times, God is there. And as his children, we have to come to a place where we are passionate about always knowing that God is always with us. He's never going to leave us, and he always wants to communicate with us. He wants us to listen. So God comes down to talk to us, and that last part, so we will listen, so that we would listen. If you read the rest of chapter 3 and then get into chapter 4, something crazy happens in Moses' life. He comes to a tipping point. Okay, some of you have heard that phrase, some of you haven't, but a tipping point would be like if you take a pitcher and you start to tip it, nothing's come out yet, but the second you tip it enough to get, I mean, that changes everything, right? Like if some of you would love like an ice cold can of Dr. Pepper right now, okay, and you were holding a glass, and I started to tip it, that changes everything, right? Because you start to get some Dr. Pepper, and then I tip it some more and more, and you get an entire can of Dr. Pepper. Moses' life right now is at a tipping point. And if you read through chapter 4, something crazy happens. He's forgetting to do stuff that's important. He and his wife had a son, and the rule was back then that sons weren't circumcised right when they were born. You waited 8 days. And the father was supposed to circumcise his son on the 8th day. And guess what? Moses forgot. Okay? This is in chapter 4. Literally, right after this happens with the burning bush. And guess what? His wife is ticked. She's like, you were supposed to circumcise our son. She takes a rock, circumcises her son, takes the foreskin and throws it at his feet and says, what on earth were you thinking? At that point, I'm like, okay, God, I think you've got my attention. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I am really sorry for forgetting to do to my son what I was supposed to do. This was supposed to be my deal with my son. Hey, it's in there. You don't believe me? You go home and read it tonight. And guess what happens? Don't miss this. Guess what happens right after that in chapter 4? Moses teams up with Aaron, and they change history. Because Moses came to a point in his life where he would listen. God had talked to him. God had come down. But Moses came to a point in his life where he listened to the voice of God. Literally, right after that story, he teams up with Aaron. And they go and do exactly what God calls them to do. The plagues start to happen. You know the whole story. If you don't and you want an incredible read, go back and read the beginning of Exodus. Amazing story, an amazing testimony of what God can do in somebody's life when he starts to listen to his voice. Incredible story. Some of us are, let's just be honest, we are terrible at listening. Not just to God, but to each other. I can't tell you how many times I've sat down at a meal with my wife on a date, and she'll stop and say, "Are you even listening?" And it's a little bit funny, but it's even more sad that there's times when I don't want to listen to my wife. And I can look back at, I can tell you story after story when I didn't listen to my wife. And I could tell you even more stories after I became a Christian in junior high and high school, college, leading up until this point in my life. I could tell you so many examples of when I didn't listen to the voice of God. It affects you, it affects your friends, it affects your family. I just want to encourage you tonight to realize when God comes down to find burning bushes in your life and to say, "God is speaking to me here, God is speaking to me here. God, I want to know you, I want to hear your voice. I want to tune out all the distractions, I want to have an attention span that's long enough to hear your voice and to hear your heart, to hear what you want for my life. God, I want to know you. I want to be in an amazing, powerful, life-changing, world-changing relationship with you." That's what God wants for every single one of us tonight. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right now. Some of you are thinking, "Where's my burning bush? It was really obvious to Moses, and why isn't it obvious to me right now?" I have not heard the voice of God in weeks, some of you might be saying, months. Some of you are here tonight and you may think, "I have never heard from God." And if you're here tonight, I just want to encourage you to break this book open day after day after day, and you can hear from God just by reading this book, because he inspired people to write it. This is God's book. He wants to speak to you. He wants you to listen to him. And I wonder what our student ministry would look like if we all listened to the voice of God. So tonight, we're going to end with just Jeff and Lauren. You can sing if you want to. And I want you to know, if you don't want to sing, if you just want to sit and be in the presence of God, if you want to read your Bible, you feel free to do whatever you feel like God's calling you to do tonight. If you are new tonight and you are like, "What in the world did I get myself into? Who is the sweaty guy up on stage? Why is he so weird?" I just ask you tonight to sit for the next few minutes and consider some of the things that I've said. If you're here tonight and you've been in a small group for years, you want to talk with your leader about something, feel free. If you need to go to the back, or if you even need to go sit on a couch, you do whatever you need to do to be obedient to God tonight. Let me pray for you. Father, thanks for all these students. I pray that right now that all of us would meet with you. Lord, you know our hearts, and you know that each of us come every Sunday night, every time we're here, and we're in a different place. Some of us came tonight, and we were in just a completely different spot than we might be right now, and you've got our attention. And so I just pray that we would all be obedient tonight to whatever it might be that you would say to us. Lord, thanks so much for being good to us. Lord, thanks for being such a faithful God. And Jesus, tonight we thank you that 2,000 years ago you came down and you wrapped yourself in flesh and you paid the ultimate penalty for every single one of us that's here tonight. You paid for our sins. You paid for our junk. And we thank you for that tonight, Lord. So we just want to respond to you tonight with our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.